Bobby was 14 when the cop caught him coming out of the convenience store with 2 six-packs of beer, Narragansett, and 3 cartons of cigarettes, Chesterfield's, naturally. 21 great tobaccos make 20 wonderful smokes. This was the blonde, village of the damned, cop. Bobby told the cop he hadn't broken in, that the back door was open. He just walked in. But when the cop shone his flashlight on the lock, it hung askew in the old wood, half-gouged out.
"What about this?" the cop asked, and Bobby shrugged.
Sitting in the car, the cop let Bobby sit in the front seat with him, but wouldn't let him have a butt when Bobby asked. The cop began filling out a form on a clipboard. He asked the sullen, skinny kid beside him what his name was. "Ralph," Bobby said. "Ralph Garfield." But when they pulled up in front of the house, where he now lived with his mom, a whole house, upstairs and downstairs, both times were good, he told the cop he'd lied. "My name's really Jack," he said.
"Oh, yeah?"
the blonde village of the damned cop said. "Yes," Bobby said, nodding. "Jack Meridew Garfield. That's me." Carol Gerber's letters stopped coming in 1963, which happened to be the year of Bobby's first school expulsion and also the year of his first visit to Massachusetts Youth Correctional in Bedford. The cause of this visit was possession of 5 marijuana cigarettes, which Bobby and his friends called joysticks. Bobby was sentenced to 90 days, the last 30 forgiven for good behavior. He read a lot of books. Some of the other kids called him Professor. Bobby didn't mind. When he got out of Bedbug Correctional, Officer Grandel, the Danvers juvenile officer, came by and asked if Bobby was ready to straighten up and fly right. Bobby said he was. He had learned his lesson, and for a while that seemed to be true. Then, in the fall of 1964, he beat a boy so badly that the boy had to go to the hospital, and there was some question of whether or not he would completely recover. The kid wouldn't give Bobby his guitar, so Bobby beat him up and took it. Bobby was playing the guitar, not very well, in his room when he was arrested. He had told Liz he'd bought the guitar, a Silvertone acoustic in a pawn shop. Liz stood weeping in the doorway as Officer Grandel led Bobby to the police car parked at the curb. "I'm going to wash my hands of you if you don't stop," she cried after him. "I mean it, I do."
"Wash him," he said, getting in the back. "Go ahead, Ma. Wash him now and save time."
"Driving downtown," Officer Grandel said, "I thought you was going to straighten up and fly right, Bobby."
"Me too," Bobby said. That time he was in Bedbug for 6 months. When he got out, he cashed in his Trailways ticket and hitched home. When he let himself into the house, his mother didn't come out to greet him. "You got a letter," she said from her darkened bedroom. "It's on your desk." Bobby's heart began to bang hard against his ribs as soon as he saw the envelope. The hearts and teddy bears were gone. She was too old for them now. But he recognized Carol's handwriting at once. He picked up the letter and tore it open. Inside was a single sheet of paper, decal-edged, and another, smaller envelope. Bobby read Carol's note, the last he ever received from her, quickly. "Dear Bobby, how are you? I am fine. You got something from your old friend, the one who fixed my arm that time. It came to me because I guess he didn't know where you were. He put a note in asking me to send it along. So I am. Say hi to your mom. Carol."